Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Gadfly.
This is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing...
Radio.com. All right, that intro music was Z Gabber. It's called Twinkle Space Entropy Before Flash. And in parentheses, I know another life.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Like
it. Yeah. Good. Pretty whack. So this episode, we're just going to talk shit. Talk shit about people we hate. Actors, movies.
Like, no difference between any other episode.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Judge Judy, I hate her.
Judge Judy, oh, she's a demon.
And she's not even a real judge.
I like the one character.
Or a real Judy.
Judy.
She's not a real Judy. Judy, Judy,
Judy. That puts a whole new meaning on adjudicate.
Oh. You're in trouble.
Or Judy Cake.
Judy Cake.
Do you have the receipts?
All right, so what's everybody been watching? Anything cool? Let's start with Dr. Tar.
I just saw Superman.
Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah.
I really did. I think I kind of just like James Gunn's take on comic book movies. But it's just,
yeah.
It was enjoyable.
It was very fun, yeah. So, cool. How about you, Dr. Head?
I too liked Superman very much. It was different than I. Have you seen it, Professor Feather? Midnight Gadfly?
I have not.
I have, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to spoil anything because I think it's really worthwhile seeing.
Yeah, because it is.
So I think we should maybe do a episode on it. But then, well, that wraps it up.
The chaos is going on.
We've been talking. Thank you for watching. Or listening.
Come on,
Jerry.
I don't know.
Maybe watch it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
He was letting you out so you could go watch Superman.
I liked it. It wasn't the movie that I was expecting, but I really liked what they did, and I will save it and I'll wait for Professor Feather to see it because I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I would. It's on my list when it comes around.
And I'm not a big Superman fan, but I really liked this movie.
I'm not either. We know that for a long time.
Yeah, and so I said they did it right. It was a lot more the like the 50s. You know, 60s kind of some wacky
hurt.
Shit, and yeah. Well,
it's hurt.
Don't, because that's.
It's
close. Save it.
It's close. Anyway,
yeah, let's talk about it later.
Yeah. So you also saw Superman. How about you, Professor Feather?
No, he didn't.
I was trying to think what I've been watching. I haven't really watched too many movies lately. I watched. The Future of Crime, Cronenberg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Oh my God. It's the ultimate body horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so gross.
The ultimate. It is so gross. Yep. I mean, he's just, you couldn't think he could outdo himself, but this
movie. He always does. It's
just, and he's like, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of low budget, but. Who's the guy that played the.
I didn't even think about the budget.
No, it doesn't because he, no.
Interesting premise. The whole premise is it's not just body horror because Cronenberg is a genius at writing. His writing is really good, and this is some of his best ever. I think
it's of the writing. So bizarre. It's so bizarre.
It is a very bizarre movie and very bizarre concept of the future of humanity, and it's but just and it's also kind of it's makes a great sense, though, concept. Too.
Yeah,
it's a great concept. So I guess I have watched something recently, and we talked about Willy's Wonderland. I think didn't we? At one of our
I just watched that.
Did you watch it?
I did. Oh my God, it's so much fun. I was like, I'm prepared to like have this movie be a throwaway movie, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so good. Like, it's just really entertaining. I mean, I've seen some similar things, but when you hear all the rationale behind it, it's like, okay.
John Wick versus the banana split.
It is so entertaining. And then like Nick Cage got paid every dollar that he was worth, every dollar.
And probably
every
word he said. So much fun.
For every word he said.
Yes, yes, that's right. He made more money per word, I think, than about any actor. No, just so much fun. I want to watch that again. So much so that I put it on a list this year. Mrs. Head and I are doing our Oktoberfest. We watch a horror movie every night through October. We've been doing this for years and started developing a theme. Last year's theme didn't work out so well. It was each week was a different decade, and the 70s really dragged. But this year it's horror-omedies.
Comedies,
yes.
Killer clowns, you could do that.
Yeah, I got Killer Clowns from Outer Space on there, and I've also put on
Willy's Wonderland. I could do Arsenic and Olay too.
Yeah, Willy's Wonderland is on there as well. Like at Freaks, Dead Snow, Brain Dead.
That's a good one. That's
Brain Bad Dead. Taste. Yeah, The Monkey.
Bad Taste. Yeah, I was going to say.
One Cut of the Dead.
Have you ever seen One of the Dead? Oh, you've seen
One Cut of the Dead? One Cut of the Dead? You've not seen it?
Not seen it.
I have not.
Okay.
That's a Japanese one, isn't it?
Just like we did, Dave Made a Maze. Do not research it. Do not look at it. Go find that movie right fucking now. We got to watch it. One Cut of the Dead. I will host a party if you want to watch it. We will watch it.
Then let's do that.
Yes. Oh God, it's good.
As soon as we got the time and effort, you know, we can put it together.
Yeah.
Let's do it because that would be good. Sounds kind of interesting.
Willy's Wonderland, there's all these weird theories out there as to who the main Nick Cage's character is. Some people suggest that it's the guy from Gone in 60 Seconds or whatever it was because of the car he has. Some say he's the personification of death, and that's why he's there. He's some sort of a super soldier with unusual strength, or possibly an autistic individual who would adheres strictly to rules. Some have also thought it's Johnny Blaze from Ghost Rider Universe showcasing a supernatural connection to it. It's just all kinds of whacked out shit that people talk. And I was very surprised by it, you know, because he doesn't say a word, does he? Or does he say
it?
Not a word. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, what was the other one that he did?
Which is probably the most the editing Nicolas Cage performance ever.
Yes.
The editing is terrific. Yeah. Yes. I think they really did a great editing job on the movie. His obsessions, OCD.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say anything about the movie and nobody could say it was wrong.
Right.
that's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think maybe even, you know, it'd be
and
nice
just how it was. Yeah.
Well, maybe they even, like the writer, directors and stuff, said, yeah, let's put that car in here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like that. Let's do this because that's kind of a
make a nod
that movie. Yeah. They might have done that. Yeah, they might have done that, you know. Which, and that's why people have kind of caught on to it and thinking about it. Or it the director and writer sitting back just laughing their asses off going, I don't know what the fuck these people are even saying.
But you think about Nicolas Cage, he has such a rich history anyway. You could put all sorts of little imagery in the background suggesting other things, though, too. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's just,
It was, I really like, it was his dead twin from Adaptation. Yeah.
It could be. Yeah, sucked into an alternate universe and spat out by Satan's anus. I don't know. Just like Nicolas Cage. What can you say?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, fun movie, though. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I don't know that I'm trying to think if I've watched anything recently.
You sounded busy.
Yeah, I generally will have like some sort of true crime program on in the background or something. You know, it's just this white noise, like 48 hours or something like that. The I'm trying to think. So I've not really been watching much of anything, which is unfortunate. What a time to do a free for all.
I don't think we need to restrict to movies though if we're doing a free for all. So
yeah,
we can do anything.
Trying to think
Totally immersed in scroll sawing right now.
Are you?
I mean, totally immersed in scroll sawing, and also making some other. But right now, I'm on Halloween, making some simple Halloween decoration stuff. You know,
oh yeah,
that's just out of 2x4s, just fun. Fun project, easy.
Cool.
You know, something that you can kind of turn out. I'm doing a Halloween picture. It's a multi-layered picture of Halloween. It's got, you know, it's the typical.
Ooh,
it's
like
got,
the Epic of Soul thing you did?
Kind of like that. It's got a, you know,
a little more layers.
A haunted house and, you know, a ghost, a witch, a werewolf. It's layered too, you know, and it's like, I think, 3 layers. So I'm doing that. It just, you know, that stuff, that's my, like, you know, downtime, actually, because the hardest part is prepping it. Then once I get into the scroll sawing, that is my one of my happy places. Absolutely.
That's fun.
Just have a good time.
You know? That, you posted a picture of this guy that you follow, that bat that he did that was a wall mount.
Yes.
Oh my fucking God, that was so that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen out of wood. That was
a lot of that's called intarsia, because it's a special process of scroll sawing, which you have to cut the pieces out. You literally cut the pieces
organic.
Out. Then you have to
Listen,
I'm telling you why. Because when they pull the parts out, they round everything off. They make everything smooth and you know. So then when they fit back together, you've got those rounded parts. There's a split in there, but you see all the round parts, and it becomes the segmentation.
Looks like a bone or...
Yeah. And it's just beautiful. I have this other guy. Oh, my God. You guys, I should give you guys this guy, because he has done several Marvel characters in the intarsia style, and they are works of art. They are absolutely brilliant. I'll try to remember to get his
the bad thing guy. I really like the idea of de-dying the medium, is I guess what they call it. But it was just like taking wood, but it looked, and I granted wood is organic, but this made it look like, when you think of wood, you think of blocky, but this is not.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, it's all that
it's
rounding.
It's so
all the
cool
roundovers that they do. And all of the wood in intarsia is natural. There's nothing stained. You don't stain anything. The wood has to represent the color, which is challenging because, you know, finding stuff that's yellow, there is yellowish wood out there, and it's just, you know, a real challenge. But it's a true art form. I've attempted it once and went, I'm going to wait. But I've been looking at like the bat, and there's these other ones.
It sounds like
just so good. I think.
Like that. I guess that would be more attracted to woodworking, you know, doing things like kind of like that, you know, more.
Yeah. Abstract. Yeah. No, I think it's great. But that, so that's what I've been doing to one as, you know, a few hours out of my day. I also spend 2 to 4 hours in music.
Composing, did I tell playing. You, Feather gave me a little scroll saw thing. It was the opening of Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein. You remember the little animated thing?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just black and white. Perfect.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made a couple of those, didn't you? Because I think we sold one at
We sold one at a convention, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but I
cool.
wanted one and I didn't buy it, but...
Well, I planned on making you one anyway.
Well, thanks. Yeah,
I have been making time to paint and draw, but not as much as I'd like to. Yeah, just...
Oh, no. When we're there, you know, how do you foresee this convention going?
Swimmingly.
Playing in the room a lot. You know, we're drawing and just fucking around and every once in a while going on as Tar and Feather. Am I wrong?
Or go out as Tar and draw in front of people.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that.
Draw a crowd. I think you can do it.
Done!
We'll set up an easel and everything. And you can make a big play out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then when it's done, it's all stick figures.
Yeah. You got to stand real close in front of it and just keep looking over your shoulder. Yeah,
it's like it became a loop. What we did.
I see that guy three times in
Mikey,
this.
Do you remember when we did this, Mikey? Oh, man. Come down here. You need to be the artist, the crime scene artist.
Never showed Mikey at Cinema Wasteland.
No, did you have any public showings of Mikey?
No. Only when I did it for school. We showed on Thursday nights. We had
that. Was I a, think we should show.
That was movie night. Mm-hmm. And when we had projects like that, part of that movie night, we would show. And that was one of them.
Yeah. I did show it when we did the, a couple years ago, we had the Northern Ohio Indie Film Festival. And I did show that as one of the shorts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a bunch of shorts. I did that one. And I also did Your Private Place and You and the other shorts between, mm-hmm. you know, between other movies. And so that was kind of fun. I mean, we bombed financially, but it was, yeah. I really thought, and we were doing a fundraiser with the local food bank, and I really thought for sure, you know, come in and said, it's $5 or whatever it was for a ticket, which I thought was nothing. Yeah. Or, you know, bring a canned good and it's free. You know, I thought, well, let's just draw people in, you know. Yeah, we had maybe 20 people there. Oh God!
Really?
Yeah, we rented a theater that holds about 12 or about 2,000 people.
Oh jeez!
Because it was Lorraine Palace. It was the, you know, and they do events like that. You could rent it out. We thought, let's rent out the palace because it's the biggest screen of all. But it was nice seeing some of Monster Party Beach on the big screen.
Oh yeah!
It was nice seeing Quest for Uranus on the big screen. Like that's pretty cool.
Isn't Mikey at the end of one of those two?
At Monster, I think. Put it on Monster Party Beach, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. At least our version.
So a lot of people, you know, like when we showed that, like on Vortex and mm-hmm. you know, those places,
our version of it, Tar and Feathers version?
Of what?
Monster Party Beach.
Yeah, I think so. That was on the Vortex on one night. It was your version. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I joined in for the
I remember that. I remember you being there. Yeah.
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 No, that was great.
Sluggo, had a good time.
And Sluggo let us do that? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
I don't know. I thought she's kind of picky about what's...
No, she's not. There's certain rules you don't break.
No.
And that's not necessarily in the
whole
video.
Lard thing bikini.
Listen,
I didn't
that's
know.
Not about no, the... That's not... That's not. She doesn't judge the videos, the movies. She doesn't judge those. It's the conversation in the chat room that is moderated.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not the movies. She doesn't censor movies. No.
Okay.
Well, I'm clarifying that because she's a good person.
No,
and I don't want to cast any aspersions.
She absolutely
to her
is.
At all.
Don't misunderstand me. I did not mean it that way. Just
okay. Gotcha. I thought you did.
I understand. I started watching this series called City on the Hill from 2021. It's Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Plays a scumbag.
Sizzling bacon.
Yeah, he's a scumbag FBI agent, like in I think it's the 70s or 80s. I like it because I think in one episode, he calls somebody up on his phone. This is early cell phone stuff. And he's like, "Hey, scumfuck, what are you doing?"
Scumfuck.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah, so I got to go back and find that because I was like,
I like that.
Yeah.
He's got the fever.
Yeah, right. Scumfuck fever. Yeah, yeah. I've never heard anybody use that term before. And he's like, "Hey, scumfuck!" Like,
ooh. I thought Jack made it up. You know, scumfuck.
I thought he did too. He probably did. I don't know.
He probably did. No, probably did. You know, the whole name was his name. Scumfuck fever.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's not bad. It has parts that are good, and you know Kevin Bacon's always really good. But
I was wondering about it if it was any good.
I got into the second season and I kind of got tired of it, you know. So, but
happens on a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they start changing. I was experiencing the same thing. I've been watching a couple different series. In the second season of Westworld, and I think it's second season. And while I really loved the first season, I loved the whole story. Now I can see where we're going to be going into a much different kind of bigger story arc. So
bigger story.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going to go on, but I'm enjoying it. Same thing with Boardwalk Empire with Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Really great performances and really, really good. I mean, he's great anyway. You know, I just really like him as a, and,
What was that? There was a show, I don't know if it was a movie or a streaming movie or whatever, but Steve Buscemi, but he's playing, I believe, Khrushchev, and it's when Stalin dies.
Oh.
Or,
yeah.
And it's like, it takes place like in the 50s, and it's more of a comedy.
It's a movie, I think. Yeah.
I see clips of it, and it looks... I'd like to see it, I think, and it would.
It looks like it could be a good farce, you know.
It was just kind of funny. Yeah. Days of do you know what I'm talking about?
It's called The Death of Stalin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's that on?
It doesn't show that it's streaming anywhere.
Oh, I think.
Hang on. It could be. I'm still looking. It is anyway. On Tubi.
Oh, hell yeah, I'll watch it.
Pluto, Plex, Hulu, Disney Plus. So if you have Disney,
oh, it's on
Plus.
Hulu too?
Disney Plus. I don't know.
Well, Disney will tell you to go to Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're the same thing anymore.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I
started watching part of it.
Which part? Which part?
Yeah.
Which part? Yeah.
I saw the trailer.
The middle third. I just said, just take me off a slice of about 18 minutes in.
Just a tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. I started watching The Ballerina and
the John Wick.
Yeah,
in the John Wick universe. Okay,
it's I don't think the Lady Armas or whatever her name is able to hold a movie on her own. I don't know. It just doesn't feel, you know, the, I don't know. She just doesn't have that kind of vibe to me. Yeah, acting chops. I don't know. I mean, it's not like Keanu Reeves has great acting chops.
And John Wick is in the movie for a while, isn't he?
For like 2 minutes.
I know, it wasn't very long. They said, I only read about it.
Kind of like a John Carradine.
Yeah, it's John Carradine. Yeah, it's very much like, what is it? The Scarlet, or not Scarlet.
Johansson.
Who plays Scarlett Johansson? Black Widow. It's like a Black Widow.
Okay. Oh, the Black Widow.
Okay,
Black Widow, yeah.
Okay,
but I didn't finish. Makes it, so it might get better. I don't know. As I said, I did. You know, I started watching it, and then I'm like, I gotta get shit on. So. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I haven't really had a chance to watch anything. All I do is read when I have a chance. been reading Multiple Warheads by what's his name? Brandon Graham. And Multiple Warheads is crazy stuff. He's just got some of the greatest puns and stuff like that. You know. So like they live in this it's like Armageddon kind of thing after post-apocalyptic, and then they're rebuilding civilization. It's very weird. So they have all these, like, I don't know, it's just pure like science fiction fantasy, and his drawings are great, and there's always a lot of little things in the drawings that are fun, and he'll have inventions like this filter that is filtering water. It's like the first ward is thought, the second ward is protection, is an id ward, the fourth one is the ego ward, and then underneath it says four word thinking is what it's called, you know. So he's got all these like little puns and things that he puts in there that are really cool. It's just bizarre. He's an interesting person. The other one, I can't remember
what. And it's called what?
Multiple Warheads. Okay. I gave you a copy of it. Okay. I did last time I was over. Holy fuck. Yeah, it's really cool. I think I showed it to Professor Feather when you were here that one time, and you said,
"Yeah,
my bad."
It's really cool stuff. But if you get a chance, Dr. Head, I think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah, let me look for it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I came across, I was just looking at some things that usually when I watch a movie and I don't want to keep it, I delete it or something, and so I forget what I've been watching. But one movie that kind of stands out because I like the cast and it's really kind of funny, it's from 2017. The Little Hours with Aubrey Plaza and I forget a few of the other actresses, but it's a retelling of one of the Decameron tales, which were the more bawdy Canterbury Tales, companion to Canterbury Tales that came out. I remember getting a copy of it, and it's all these like sexually suggestive stories, and that's what is kind of about this. It's about these girls who are in this kind of a convent. And
of course,
and Aubrey Plaza is a nun. I'm like, well, you got me already. Aubrey Plaza as a nun. I'm already there. Hey, where's my sock?
And leather nuns.
Yeah. And it's really kind of funny. And it plays with like, there's a lot of sexual humor, and I don't want to spoil it because I think it'll take away some of the charm. But it's not a terrific movie, but it's kind of funny you know, the cast is great, and it kind of goes in a direction that was unexpected. So I would make that as my suggestion of the week.
Yeah, it's on little, Prime.
All right, there you go. The Little Hours.
I remember seeing it, you know, just in passing.
Mm-hmm.
Noted that, you know.
It's kind of Fred Armiston. There's tons of people. He's, oh, my gosh.
There, yeah.
What's the other guy? Oh, Kate McCucci's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Kate.
Sorry, the name.
So as long as she never marries a guy named with last name is Itchy, she'll be all right.
If you go on the YouTubes, there's a interview with her. I think it's Conan O'Brien where they talk about her name.
Yeah,
and it's fucking hilarious, man. It's just she's very funny. Yeah, I like them.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Garfunkel and Oates. Some of the funniest songs I've ever heard.
And good, they're good and catchy good. Songs. Yeah, yeah.
Not clever. They're clever.
Yes, yeah, very clever and very good. Very well done.
Yeah,
yeah. She was on an episode of something where she was so shy.
Oh, she's on Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang, that's it. Big Bang Theory. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's good, because she's really good in it.
And she was on Scrubs, too. Kate McCucci.
Yes, mm-hmm. She was, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she plays the girlfriend of the guy with the ukulele, and that's where I first saw her. I'm like,
oh, I forgot about that. That's
who's
right.
She? Oh, goodness, she's so cute. Who is she? Yeah. Yeah, just a doll, she's, little tiny little thing.
She's Kate McCucci.
Yes, she is.
At least.
Yeah, Ricky Lindholm is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
The and Ricky Lindholm is the one that was having the problems with the go kart.
Yes, and they were in that show together. what was it called? It was like a period piece, like Downton Abbey.
But Drunk History. Really, I know they did Drunk History.
No, it wasn't Drunk History. It was just kind of
a funny show.
But it was really funny. It was just like really kind of had a lot of satire on the mores of those days, you know, and just the kind of outrageousness of it. But yeah, it was kind of silly.
Yeah. As I said, I'm just looking at there. I was trying to see if I could find where that song is.
Yeah,
the one was Dating a Republican. I remember hearing that one. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Hand job, bland job, I. Gay boyfriend. Yeah, they're great. So if you haven't heard them, you got to go listen to them, Dr. Tar.
What the f- No!
No, I won't. Oh,
okay. Hey, Dr. Tar, check out my coochie.
Coochie. I need some cropping.
That'd be a good name for if your last name was Bushy. Makushi Bushy.
Bushy Makushi.
Makushi Bushy.
No, my name's Croppin' Mabushy.
No, wait a minute. Her last name is Makushi, so she could have a name.
Makushi.
Good name. Bushy.
Makushi.
Bushy. Yes, her hyphenated name, Bushy Makushi.
Bushy Makushi.
She might just do that, just to make that her official middle name.
Makushi. It's Makushi, actually.
Yeah.
I'm up my Bushy eyebrows. Makushi.
Yeah, but Finn, one of Finn's friends in high school, his last name was Dick. And there was a... In the same class... There was a girl, she was Indian. Her first name was Sukanya. And we said if they got married, Sukanya Dick.
So bad.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And it made for lunch. Yeah, such a long experience, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's good.
It was always funny when they would make an announcement about the Dick family at school because there's multiple kids that went there, and I think the parents donated or something.
And they had their own podcast where they told freedom of speech, and it was called Dick Uncut.
My cousin, too, the guys he worked with, was telling me when he was working at Ford, one was named Dick Walnut and then Dick Everhard. I'm like, come on, if your last name is Everhard, why would you give your boy's name Dick? Seriously? That's a lot to live up to, man.
I prefer...
I mean, that's a good porn name. That's a great porn name, but...
Well, no. I went to a urologist whose name was Dr. Richard Tapper. It's no joke, either. And when my doctor said, you got to go to a urologist, I said, okay. He goes, and he writes down on a pad, and he just looks up at me, and he smiles, and he slides it across the counter. And I'm like,
was that Todd?
It was Todd, yeah. I look at it, and I'm like, I'd heard the name before, because I had to take, my girlfriend was a nurse, and she had to go to these different places to get tests done, you know, like have her pee test, blood work, all that kind of stuff. And we saw him, he was on the building, and it says Dr. Richard Tapper, urologist. I'm like, no fucking way. I think I probably told you about that. That was the one when I went in, he had two interns that were there, and they were female. And he goes, is it okay if I have these two interns come into the room? I said, yeah, no problem. So we walk into the room, and I drop trowel, you know, thinking this is what you got to do. And he turns back around, and he goes, oh, we're not there yet. And the two girls are trying not to laugh because that would be unprofessional.
We're not there yet. Oh
my God. I'm not calling. You're so willing. That's just like
when I write a book about my dating life. That's what's going to be called. We're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I misread the signals. I'm just.
That's right. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear the needle drop, so I thought I'll start with my pants.
Other than scratching.
Yeah.
Take it in, ladies. First looks free.
Oh, man.
I modeled in art school.
Of course, the second looks free, too, but I'm not going to tell you that and talk to you.
That's right. Most people want their money back anyway.
That's right.
Oh, man.
You owe me.
I'll actually pay you if you take a second look.
Has anybody seen the Thunderbolts movie?
No.
No.
Well, never mind then.
Yes, I did.
No, I was thinking the swallow. Did you like it?
Yeah. Loved it. It was all right. They keep saying, yeah.
It is so good. And it's one of those ones where you know, I came into it. It looks like it might be kind of fun. They got nothing to lose. So I hope they just go all out. And that's really what they did. And it's so much fun. I don't want to spoil it. I think it's really worth seeing. I recommend it. Totally fun. I'd love to talk about it, but good. Yeah.
David Harbour is great as the Russian guy.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I really do like the idea of them picking if they're going to do comic book movies, picking comic book characters that are lesser known, I guess, because it's more of the interest. Yeah, like these guys, you know,
you take more risks
because
with them
of the other stuff. They have the money to kind of go look and explore this stuff, but yeah. But anyway, yeah, I do like that we know, I guess, in this crowd that we know the characters they're pulling from, but they're lesser known. Does that make sense? And I guess I get tired of seeing Superman. I get tired of seeing a lot of the Marvel.
Yet another Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of a thing.
You know, the Batman has become a joke. You know, no matter what they come out with, it's just you're going, why? Why?
Quit doing it. And it's always the same shit, too.
Or have some kind of continuity between, you know, whatever's going on or something. Right. I mean, it just,
disjointed.
The new Batman.
If that's what you're looking for.
What was the last guy to play Batman?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, sucked. I don't care what anybody said. He fucking sucked. He was not Batman. You know, he was some
I like
emo,
Christian Bale.
He was some emo fucker. You know, that's just all he was. Yeah. Why? I guess is he a sex symbol? Is he a heartthrob for the gay world? Maybe. I don't know. No.
Yeah, I liked it.
Tar. Yeah,
I did too.
I was being contemporary.
Just love.
I know.
But I like Christian Bale as Batman.
He was probably my favorite. Yeah.
And
I like Val Kilmer really well.
I did too, yeah.
TV series
Adam West.
Yeah.
Adam
I liked
West.
Him too. Extreme. I really enjoy the Extreme too. So
what was you gonna say, Dr. Head?
I just said I love watching the Batman series. I'll put it on. Watching it. I just love listening to it because the music is so great, and you don't have to. I mean, watching it, you get the visuals. It's funny, but it's the hearing it. It's like Bullwinkle. It's so smart. It's so funny, and the delivery is what's so comic. You know, the Hiroshima serious deadpan. It's what makes the show, and then the exaggerated. You know. Like Cesar Romero is still the best Joker. I'm sorry.
He's
down.
Pretty good.
He was great. I love the other incarnations, but he was just.
Oh no! Hard. I saw this at. I was the prime age to see this at the time on TV. Oh yeah, it was so cool.
Well, I mean,
I still hear the music too.
Two nights a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah. Batgirl was
same
my
bad
first
time. That was, same bad channel.
Yeah. Oh,
my
Batgirl.
First girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
I still.
Oh, man. She
that was
oh,
my first time I had funny feelings down there at 4 years of age. Like,
her skin tight.
Batgirl all tied up on a belt. You know,
my God, not the tickler.
Conveyor belt.
Going to a big buzzsaw. I'm like, hey, what? Ooh, so ever since then, I've been had a
slowly thing for reaching for a sock.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Why is this filling
up? This is wrong.
So
this is wrong.
I think I broke something.
Sock.
yeah, but to this day, I still have a little thing for tight purple glittery outfits. So there you go.
It's always been a little thing. But,
and that Batgirl theme music, Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but Yvonne Craig was beautiful. She just really was. Yeah, so goodness good. Gracious. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those episodes aren't nearly as good because they were totally leading into the camp, but you can't pass on Joker and Batman surfing. Surf's Up. I mean, yeah. That was so fucking great, you know?
Every the episode movie. Was so
cute. I remember seeing the movie during a summer thing.
Yeah, so that's what made the show. It was so fun.
Yeah. And good, intelligent poking fun at stuff, you know, and paying homage to like all different kinds of comedy. And then having all of those major stars as
wanting to be on it.
That was a stroke of genius right there, man. And then it became, you know, it became the cool thing to do, too.
Yeah. You know? If you were seeing Batman,
I was a star on Batman. Yeah.
Which spawned all the Italian superhero movies, all that stuff that you got to see later on, Danger Diabolic, all that stuff, you know, was just.
Well, then you bring on also, you have the Green Hornet, which was also very popular. And then to have them on the show, like crossing over, I mean, they were taking that hand over fist from Marvel.
Bringing
these two shows together, it was genius, you know, crossing over.
I saw this stuff, and then you had the Irwin Allen stuff going on at the same time. You know, they were on some other channel, you know, Land of the Giants or whatever was going on at the time, Lost in Space or, you know, I mean, it was just all this big comic book stuff going on. It was so cool.
Land of the Giants.
Cool. Yeah. Stuff
and what was like that one where they're in a submarine? Where was that one? What was that one?
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Yeah, that one.
Land of the Giants. We always Land of the Giants. Log.
Time Tunnel.
We always called it Log.
Log. Better than bad, it's good. Yeah. A hog. Giants. I watched that from time to time. I'm like, oh, Carl, you know, girls.
No, the Irwin Allen stuff that was on at the time.
I loved Lost in Space as a kid. I mean, I watched
and
it.
I loved that shit, though.
You know, some of those episodes, there was one that terrified me so much I remembered it where Dr. Smith gets stuck in a cave where there is an android making machine. It like drops down like a blob of like looks like bread dough, and it goes to another stage. You might have seen it like on Bugs Bunny or it, like the same kind of plant.
Yeah, they didn't have the same
style, right, where they take a tomato and turn it into like tomato juice. But like it's like four stages. It gets cooked, and every time it comes out, it's more and more humanoid. And then it comes up and wants to destroy.
And they come up and they have that kind of moldy doctor.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the face. I don't remember the face. I just remember Dr. Smith's terror as the android. He accidentally starts the android machine, and he knows this android's going to come kill him. And I was like just scared shitless. Like, oh fuck. So you know, to this day, I'm always keeping my eye out for android making machines, and I'm suspect of bread dough. Anytime I see bread dough, I'm like, you better not turn into a fucking robot.
Considering
so poking Dr. it in
Smith.
The belly, and if you poked it in the belly, it got giggled.
What, Professor Feather?
Never mind.
No, what, Dr. Smith?
I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say.
I always wanted Dr. Smith to get killed. Hated him so much. I'm just like, man, he should die. You know, he's a despicable human being. Did anybody watch the Netflix version of Lost in Space?
I watched some of it and didn't like it particularly. Yeah, I know you really liked it.
It got better. I mean, it really got better. Yeah, when I just
couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I was impressed that the robot was mostly practical. You know what I mean? That robot that they had was great, you know.
Yeah.
And what they were supposed to, you know, what you end up finding out about them, you know, is pretty crazy. And then it's got Parker Posey plays Dr. Smith, and her whole storyline is really cool. She's just great.
Yeah, she's your girlfriend.
Oh yeah.
I like her. I just didn't grab me, you know, like. It just, you know, how something, you know, I went, I didn't think the writing was all that great.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get interested in it, in the story, you know. I just didn't think of the writing. And here again, you know, the original Lost in Space, too. I mean, that all went downhill as soon as they jumped the shark with Dr. Smith. because the first remember couple the, episodes remember the, er, the first episodes he was evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he was a downright villain. Bad guy.
He was out to kill him.
Well, that's what I said. And they said, yeah. I think, was it the second season? The execs, everybody said, no, let's make him a cartoon.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
And then and he's just horrible at it. I don't care. I was rooting for the android machine to kill him.
So. Yeah, me too. I was. Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
But I like the show a lot of times, you know. Especially if he wasn't the main, that was the problem focus, because he was almost always the main focus. But every now and then they do a show that he wasn't the main focus, and those shows I found way more enjoyable, just more fun. He just made everything like scraping your nails over a chalkboard. That's how much I disliked him.
Didn't Robbie the Robot show up in one episode?
Yes.
Oh yeah, War of the Robots.
That was great, man. To see them together.
That's what every little kid wanted to see at the time.
Exactly.
Anyway, that was just like, oh my God, you knew that.
And there's the one where there's all the whole fleet of like little tiny B9s. You know, they're probably
about a foot tall. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. And their leader rode that little scooter that he was holding on to.
I'm like, oh man, I want one. I want a little one like that. That'd be awesome.
You know, at the time when I was a kid, it's like, oh, that's so stupid. But it's like, now it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. No.
Anyway, usually it's the other way around.
I know, right?
No. It was just one of those things. I mean, there's so much more content now. We have access to content now than we did as a kid, and when we want to see it. It's just how we consume media is very different, you know. But
and media, not just contemporary media, but media of the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very accessible in all its forms, you know.
And
that's one of the beauties of this whole internet platform and how it all works.
But I also think that's
its redeeming quality.
So too. Yes, I agree.
You know, when we first got a love for these movies, it wasn't like you could see it all the time. It was like you got to see it whenever, you know, it was so sporadic. And now you can... oh, let's just call it up, or, you know, or I've got this on DVD or something.
Well, it's the whole mentality that we grew up with. There's a lot more foraging, you know what I mean? So we were in touch with having to seek things out.
And hoopla to get you to go see it, too.
To plan,
It's like,
right. And that made it more special. Like, I had to talk about time. This is when I get it.
Yeah, creating the environment. Yeah, to watch it. Yeah.
Like, creating an event, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
When you'd plan your days around it, you get that TV guide and you'd be like, what are they going to have on the movie of the week? And, oh, Tuesday would be this. And, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like Tar and Feather.
I mean, I was so happy when I got my own TV in my room. I could probably a 10-inch or 11-inch black and white, and I could watch Houlihan and Big Chuck or Big Chuck and Little John or whatever, you know.
You got the antenna ears,
I had a TV. I could get in like a station from Michigan, which played like horror movies and things like that, and I thought that was pretty cool. But just those.
Was that Channel 50? Do you know?
You know, I don't
or
recall.
20 maybe, because they both did, you know, quite a bit of.
Yeah, it's hard to
Channel
say.
Channel 20 had, what was the horror host? Count Scary or something like that.
I think that was 50, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just don't recollect. It was been way too long ago.
50? Maybe that was on. He was on 50. I thought he was on 20.
Yeah, it was one of the like. It wasn't. Anyway. It was like a higher end. You know, like the UHF on the UHF. So 20 or 50 might have been one of those then.
Yeah, those are the prominent ones out of Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the only ones out of Detroit.
No, yeah. But I agree. It's now I appreciate having access to things like this, like. And that there's so much more content out there. I mean, you can't have everything, you can't watch everything, but I'm kind of happy to be in a time where I can see better versions of the movies than I ever did before, like Blu-ray, like Universal's re-release, you know, the Blu-ray sets they put out from all their monsters. Those, especially those, they're rich and beautiful looking anyway, and their beauty, and they're black and white. I would love to see the 4K rendering of some of those, like the Wolfman. And and The Mummy. I just absolutely love to see it. I mean, I have the DVD sets, which are beautiful, but I appreciate the time that we're alive, you know.
Yeah, it is a pretty good time. And to, you know, to spread your interests and easily, you know. Mm-hmm. Although I will admit that I occasionally become nostalgic about the library. When I was growing up, we, about three blocks from where I lived, we had it was called the Maring Branch Library. And it was this old building. It looked straight out of Ray Bradbury, this building did. Just beautiful. And I spent so much time there, you know, especially when I got to be about 10 to 12. I probably would, in the summer, I'd spend 3 or 4 hours there every day doing research and just looking into things, because they let me look at anything I wanted. You know, I was old enough by then. I think you were supposed to be 13, but they knew me since I was 5. You know, I grew up with all the people that worked there. So they led me on my journey. They directed me in certain areas, asked what I liked, and say, oh, you might like this, and you might like this. 9 times out of 10, they were right. You know, a couple of my early mentors, you know.
Yeah, no.
And what better can you have than a couple of librarians?
Right. No, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, you probably almost felt like you had the place to yourself at times.
Oh, I did.
You know?
At times I did. Literally. Had
yeah, place. Right?
I'd be the only person in there, you know?
Yeah. No, that's... I agree, yeah.
The library at our... Yeah, here in BG was like just a small... Yeah, it was one of those brick buildings, yeah.
Yeah.
They later converted to the office, but anyway, yeah. You go there and there wasn't very many people in there, but you'd walk and it was those hardwood... It looked like gym floors.
Oh yeah!
It's like when you go, and when you walked across it, you could, it was the smell, the sounds, you know, in the summer, and you go find your place, and you find your little nook. I just remember hearing that, you know, people creaking across the floor and stuff, and there was like two levels, and then you could go to the basement too. Yeah,
it was the same for us. We had two levels plus the basement. The basement, they kept a lot of the stuff that they just didn't have on display. Because
that's where they had like the kids thing. Or
did they for you?
Kids readings or whatever.
Yeah, we had kids reading. It was over in one side of the main, because you went in the doors, you went up some steps, came to more steps, take them up, and then these big glass doors, as ornamental as you could get, Victorian style, you know, and you open them up to walk in, you know, and right there's the desk with the librarian, the main librarian, or one of the librarians, I should say. There was a main librarian, but you never really knew.
And in the summertime,
they were all the same.
Great big stand, cast iron stand fans. And then it'd be like, they'd just be blowing the fuck out.
They had really good fan system in the ceilings, you know, in this building was absolutely amazing. I mean, just the woodworking in it was you couldn't ask for anything better, you know.
It's weird that you say that, because I can smell it too.
Yes. That's book smell. Man, there's
both
nothing
the
like
wood,
it.
Everything. Yes. Yeah.
It's like burning leaves. That's burning leaves.
And I love that. I think that's another Halloween thing that I love so much.
It's like that sweet smell of decay is similar. Of like fall leaves.
You could still burn the leaves in the street.
Yeah.
And books, I still remember that, you know, people all
sweet.
Doing it at the same time.
We had an old a bookseller. It was sold used books, and it was about the size of a Kmart. It was immense.
Whoa, that's big.
And there's 10,000, 15,000 books easily. And so my friend and I would go there and get all our we would look for fantasy and sci-fi and classics.
They probably had everything too.
Oh, that's where we got like tons of Robert E. Howard and Conan books. Yeah. I picked up all my Dune books. I mean, I got Dune for like $1.38 because the cover was partially torn. I'm like, I will take that for $1.38. You know, and they always had like Penguin Classics, like the dollar versions. They always had those, you know, plenty of them because the new kids were coming in and had to get them. And it was just like, and it, but the place smelled like 10,000 old books, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like just, yeah, nothing like it.
Yeah, I love that. That's, you know, we had the little store on when we lived in Wasion. It was the an enclosed porch, and we turned that into a used book and comic book sales. And we had a couple of racks of used books, you know, and then all the comics. But yeah, the smell. I'd walk out there and go, just that smell. Walk over by the books, you know, pull a few of them out, you know, look through them because it, you get that smell comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel the papers.
Ever since I was a kid, man.
The tactile stuff, yeah.
Ever since I was a kid, you know, the first time I opened a book in the library.
The experience, I guess. Yeah,
you know, and it's the smell. I mean, it stays with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
And the feel of books. I got a copy of The Lord of the Rings that were library books.
Yeah.
They were like library bound, you know, from the, I think, 50s. And there's a feel to these books that is different. It's not the same as other books, you know, but yes, there is something special and tactile. I do miss that, like about my comic book collection, you know, but having some books, there is something really nice. Like I've got Lovecraft's, like all of Lovecraft's stories in one volume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got all of the Poe's version, all of Poe's works in a volume. Yeah,
I have that.
You know, the Sherlock Holmes books.
Yeah, it's same. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. It was on sale. Like, Ben was out shopping for Christmas a couple years ago, and it was at Barnes & Noble's for, I think, $10. Hardback, you know, like with notes and things like that, and like, all everything Lovecraft for $10. Yes, get it.
Oh, really? Course. Yeah. No, that's.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. It's crazy.
It's funny.
It has it in chronological order. Ooh. Listen to like the earliest stories first, like and going back to like stuff he wrote when he was like 13 or, you know, 15. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Early stuff. So you can really begin seeing, like, even at a really young age, he had a, you know, a very certain aesthetic that he was working within.
Who, all you guys were there in Bowling Green. Who was the guy that owned the used bookstore? This is the one I was like on the corner.
Yeah. I can't think of his name.
Oh,
damn it. All of you know it. And it was just like this. Yeah, it was just stuffed with books.
I frequented his store.
Yeah.
Regularly.
Was it the newsstand?
Yeah. No.
No.
It's on the other side of the street down wasn't he down by the bar?
Yeah, he was down by the bar.
There's a lot of bars.
Yeah.
No, the main bar. What?
Oh, uptown, downtown?
He is more down by Howard. He's like
Howard's.
Oh, Howard's.
Howard's is the oldest going bar in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
As far as being
the Teddy Bear Lounge. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the other ones that we played at have come and gone.
Yeah. The buildings might be there, but they've had the name changes.
Something else. Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah.
The underground.
I would go in his place all the time. That was like the.
Oh, his.
And it was just crammed.
Fantastic. If I was looking for a particular science fiction book, he's the first place I would go.
And he would direct you to this mess.
But then you remember Gadfly, Gary Bernstein.
Bernstein, yeah.
Who was in Toledo. And when we met him and got to know him, he had one of the best used bookstores around. But Gary was a businessman. And he knew his books, especially science fiction, horror, fantasy, that type of stuff. Mainly science fiction. So, you know, he'd have a volume there. You would look inside and you go, this is $5, you know, and he'd tell you why. He'd say, that's a rare. You know, that's not a standard one. See, you want a standard one? I got one over here that's a standard one. He brought this one that's like all dog-eared and ratty. Here, I'll sell you this one for 50 cents, you know.
Well, his bookstore was always a mess.
Said, sure, okay.
It was always a mess.
It was always like stacks of books everywhere. And if you go, I'm looking for this book, he'd be like, walk right over to a pile, pull it right out. You know, you're like, he knew.
Yeah, the same guy in Bowling Green did the same thing. Yeah. Exactly the same thing.
And he looked, I'm sure he looked at,
Yeah, that's funny.
And he looked like the stereotypical esoteric bookshop anyway, you know, just piled and kind of out of a range, but yet he knew exactly where everything was. And
I totally remember now. It took me a while to remember the bookstore there. Yes. Oh, yes. It was right to the wall of the ceiling. It was like tight, really tight, walking or going in. It was like all the bookshelves. I'm like, everything looked like it
everything
might be teetering.
Full with tin.
You kind of had to squeeze through.
Yeah, everything like it might teeter over at any second.
Stacks of books everywhere.
Oh, yes.
That's what I said. Dr. Tarr said. Yeah, you could go in there and say, I'm looking for, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He'd go, oh, it's right back over here.
He'd
walk over somewhere, and he'd have a couple copies of it.
And then he'd ask you what edition.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's cool.
I mean, Grounds for thought. The guy knew his stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Grounds for thought. Yeah, now their book section has expanded, you know, because they've got like two rooms now that have books, and then they've got comic books and stuff like that, and they're selling records.
They're fun.
It's
kind of coffee long, place of Bowling Green, is it still there?
It's Grounds for Thought. Yeah, really? It's I think, didn't they buy all your comic books when you
They bought all of my science fiction used paperbacks.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Science fiction and fantasy, they bought all of them. They said, we'll give you a price for all of them.
Yeah, they
and
have
at that
one
time,
whole row.
We were getting out of the books.
Right.
You know? So it was, I got a good deal on it, and we opened up our space to do other things.
They have a whole
wall. Because those books weren't
selling.
They weren't selling. Yeah. We had mud wrestling. That was in the back room, though.
Yes.
They have an entire wall.
The back room kind of smells like a
swamp. I still have some bruises from all that. Yeah.
Champion.
Cool, just still was champion. Not big enough.
Yeah, Grounds for Thought has a whole wall of science fiction.
Olive oil.
Really?
It's like ceiling to floor, and it's an entire shelf or whatever, you know. And then they've got a bunch of other stuff too that's really good.
Is it still
like
the same guy that started it?
You said they expanded? Kelly had
some kind of political scandal because he had political aspirations, but something happened. I'm not sure what, but
he and his wife run the whole thing.
Okay.
Right. But there was some kind of political scandal for his, he was a run for a con. What? I can't remember. I don't know if you were still there or not.
There were pictures of him doing cocaine down in Colombia when he was picking up the, the coffee.
The coffee.
Yeah. Chewing on coca leaves and carrying coffee downhill.
I'm bringing up 20 kilos of coffee.
And doing a river otter.
Yeah. I went in one time and it was, they had a Godzilla figure. I think it was like a 15 or 14 inch Godzilla figure that they
was
had.
Was it them
for,
or was it Young?
Young's? Maybe it was Young's. Young's newsstand? Maybe it was Young's.
Well, it was still.
Because they had Ultraman models there too.
Yeah, that was him.
Well, he had that for $20, and it was like $100 at the time. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I am going to buy this.
I know. I got some shit there, too.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yes.
We're at an hour and 4 minutes.
Wow.
Do you guys want to keep going, or do you want to... It's 5 o'clock.
You can head out.
All right.
And I'm spent.
That suck.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump?
Suck. Wake up, Jerry.
Been experiencing Unsane Radio. Potpourri.
Oh, and oh, and the
Poopery,
the chaos continues. Yes. Tarnfeather.com. UnsaneRadio.com. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebooks. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTubes. Montag Lewis on the Instagrams. Heavy Metal and Horror. And We Freaks, WeeFreeks, a family-friendly webcomic on the Facebooks, written by our own beloved dear friend, John Boise, a.k.a. Blue Fez.
Boing. Boing. Yeah. Midnight Gadfly is writing and directing a new movie called Weekend at Bernie's? Is that the movie, Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah.
Remember? Mine's called Weekend at Bernie Mac's. we're gonna go dig up Bernie Mac. Tote him around.
We're gonna have McDonald's. I was excited. Like Willy's Wonderland, but at McDonald's. Oh,
that sounds dead on arrival anyway, so.
Shout out to the Vortex. Horror-hosted movies all the time. 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is when they usually show the new one. Almost every night. And then after that, you can always check out Weird Sisters Radio. And I'm telling you, the offerings there are eclectic. Every night is a different type of music. And it usually comes on in the Eastern time zone, kind of late. It starts at 11 o'clock at night. But one of my favorites on there is Evil Dr. Toad's Prog Frog Radio Hour.
You can occasionally find the Midnight Gadfly in the chat room there, because I usually pass out.
Yeah, 11 o'clock. I'm hoping to be sleeping by then. Get off my lawn!
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock, you know, but as soon as it hits about 10, that's when I'm, like, snoozing, you know.
Oh, for the Vortex?
Yeah, for the Vortex, yeah.
They start at 9 ET time.
9.
Extraterrestrial time.
What can I say?
Good music, though. All six nights. Excellent music. Check them out. WeirdSistersRadio.com.
Huh. Count Weird Scary Sisters was on Detroit. Yeah. Yeah. Count Scary was on Detroit's WDIV television station, Channel 4.
Channel 4? Oh. Yeah. I remember watching
him. Barely remember him.
I remember watching him a few times, yeah.
Well, he was 82 to early 90s.
He was kind of like the bouncy Dracula guy, right? I mean, he was like kind of buffoonery Dracula.
Kind of Count Floydish.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Count Floydy.
My mom has discovered Svengoolie on the weekends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, the new Svengoolie?
I remember
the new Svengoolie.
Yeah, she loves him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a fan. It's not. You know, I'm glad that he's out there. He's got a major, audience, you know, in Chicago.
Yeah.
And very big out there. So I appreciate it. It's just not anything.
He's got an action figure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's a corny shtick. It's corny. I get it. I can see the appeal. And my mom just loves it, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's the movies that she likes. And then
we got dolls.
Yeah. So.
No, yeah. Yeah.
So.
I agree.
I mean, when it's a really fun movie, then I'll turn it on. Or I used to say DVR. Now I don't think I have that. yeah, it's silly. You know?
Even bigger is Joe Bob Briggs, because I think he's keeping Shudder alive. They had no idea when they brought him back for the last drive-in how popular it was going to be. It was so popular it crashed their servers.
Oh, nice!
Awesome.
Yeah. That's good to hear.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a good 10%.
Show. It's a good show.
I mean, it is.
He's good. You know, it's the
And Shudder's a nice
like
idea, but
it's like typical everything else, you know, but he's good. His, you know, his presentation.
It is, and he's a journalist, so he goes on these rants all the time about something that irritates him or whatever. And then Darcy, the mail girl, is a porn star as well as a horror movie expert. Like, she is like dropping knowledge all the time, and you can tell she's not reading a teleprompter. And even Joe Bob's going, geez, I didn't, you know, it's crazy. So, I really like that show. And you can, and on Shudder, you can just, they have just Joe Bob. So they just have the interstitials, you know, for the movies, because some of the movies they don't no longer have the rights for, so they can't show them. If you want to see those, they're really good. As I said, I enjoy watching them. So that's good background stuff too, as well.
What's this? Right. Has anybody seen on YouTube? There's a what's it called? Creature Features with what's his name?
Yeah, Creature Features.
I haven't watched.
Yeah, with what's his name?
Oh, Livingston.
He's great.
Sir Livingston.
Yeah, he's great. What's his name? Great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm subscribed to their channel.
Oh, so you've seen it too, Feather.
Yeah.
What he did with, like, What's It To You was fantastic.
Yes, that's true. I like
that. Oh, my God, that other guy, she was so good.
What's It To You?
Good.
Bless you. Gesundheit.
Ah, that guy.
I only got one thing to say. I love Micucci.